You probably know, or maybe you don't, that we have some special guests with us today. There, I will kind of give a nice introduction. I won't ask him to come yet. On my left is Jorge and Jessica Flores. They have been here before. I thought it was like in the spring, but Jorge said, no, it was like in October a year ago, which is really hard for me to imagine. I thought they were just here. They are about to leave as first-time missionaries, Foursquare missionaries. They're going to leave on our daughter's birthday. There's no reason for that. But January 28th, they have their tickets to fly to Panama to begin their ministry there. Their lives have been in transition over the last year because they're following the call of God on their lives. One of the things that I'm especially pleased at is I don't just know them as soon-to-be missionaries or people in our district, but I feel like you two have really become friends. I felt that for months, really, and I don't have many friends, so that's a... So that's a good thing, and I just always like seeing you at a convention or somewhere else, and I feel like I can call you friends, and that's really kind of special. What I see happening, and I want this to happen more in the years ahead, is that you really are friends of the church, and that you look at the people in Waukegan as people that love you, care about you, people that are supporting you. I hope you'll genuinely feel a lot of love in this congregation, because that's my personal goal. I don't want to just be another church that you go to that you hope to raise funds from. I want you to say, those people in Waukegan, we really feel loved and we feel special when we're around them. They have two little girls who already exited to go downstairs. Myla, the youngest, and Eliana, the older one. And they're very precious, and it's a very healthy, wonderful family. I can attest to that because I see the way they interact when they're not in a church setting. And so I can easily commend them to you. One thing we're going to do at the end this morning, and when he finishes his message this morning, he will probably have some kind of a response time, maybe even a prayer time, and I'm hoping everybody will stick around during that, because once that's over, we are going to take up a special love offering for them, and so I don't want you to miss out on the opportunity to send them off with that love offering. We'll also tell you at the end how, if you feel a desire to begin supporting them on an ongoing basis, month to month, I'll have him explain how that can be done. You know, different ones of us, we feel different things. We feel led to do different things, and some want to make a one-time love offering. Others say, you know, I'd like to send something every month to support them. We just want to give you all those opportunities and the knowledge on how to do that. It might be a good time to remind you this morning that we are blessed to also have Tina and Andy with us. They served as Foursquare missionaries for 6 years in the nation of Thailand. And so it's pretty special to have some people that have served as missionaries and then a couple that's about to leave as first-time missionaries. And I think that's pretty cool to have such a representation here in our church in Waukegan. So without saying any more, Jorge, why don't you come and share whatever's on your heart this morning. And be yourself. So say, I told you he's my friend. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, good morning, Church of God. How are you? Good. Man, it's so good to be back. I was, like you were saying, we were here last October. I'm here with my wife, Jessica, and my two little girls. Honey, would you stand up and, or just, however, yeah, you can wave from there. Isn't she beautiful? Man, it's okay to say, hey, man, you've done good. You've done good, Pastor Jorge. Won't hold it against you. Yeah, I consider you a friend too, Pastor George. I received texts from him a couple times a week, and the ones that really get me are the ones that say, hey, we prayed for you this morning. We had morning prayer today, and we prayed for you, and that gets me right here. I feel the love. I already feel the love, and for that, I thank you so much. Last year, I was talking to, Mike, right, Mike? And I'm the wig and robes guy. I don't know if you guys remember last year I threw some wigs and robes on children and we acted out Bible story. But I got something today that I believe is geared more for our youth. How many youth do we have here? Any adolescents in high school still? Right, I'm Clarissa. I met Clarissa. I got NJ. You're NJ. And okay, couple, right? So it's for youth and for adults. And I hope more than anything it inspires you and empowers you and encourages you. You know, we got the holidays coming up. We got Thanksgiving coming up next, or this Thursday, and then after that we have the next big holiday, which is, and Christmas is known for a holiday of joy, right? The season of joy and the season of hope, and there's a lot that comes with Christmas. It's the time that Christ is shown as the light of the world. Amen. How many believe that? Do you believe he's the light of the world? Amen. Yes. Yeah. So today I want to challenge you. Can I challenge you? I believe with all my heart that today here in Waukegan at Family Life Church, that the double-edged sword, which is right here, God's holy word, I pray that it pierces you, because that's what it does. The word of God pierces you. And when it comes in, it's got to do something in you. When you receive it, it has to do something in you. I hope it brings conviction. That's the challenge. One of the challenges I want to bring today is that it brings conviction to your hearts. I want to ask you one thing. So we agreed that Christmas, the holiday season, is joy, right? It's hope. It's what else is it? What else do we say? It's peace, right? And if Christ is truly the light of the world, should we not be sharing this? Amen. Hey, let us pray real quick before I continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I give you glory. I give you praise, Lord. I worship you. You are holy. You are holy. You are Lord. Only you are Lord. And today I thank you, Father, for opening up our hearts and opening up our minds. Any restlessness today, Father, any anxiety, any nervousness, anything that makes us restless today, Father, during this time of, during this message, Father, we just ask that you cast it out and you remove it from our bodies, from our minds. Let us be still and just hear from you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to read out of Acts chapter 4 today. Can we turn there real quick? Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to stick to chapter 4. And then there's another scripture later on I'm going to use. So I'm going to try not to jump around too much. Acts chapter 4. Such a powerful chapter. So what's happened is that Peter and John get arrested. Then in the next verses, they get arrested. I'm going to tell you why they got arrested. They've been preaching the gospel of the risen Savior Jesus Christ. They've been healing, and there's a group of people that aren't too enthused about it. So they're brought before the high priest and his family, and before they know it, they're before the council, and this council begins to interrogate them. They begin to get questioned, and in verse 8, can somebody read verse 8 for me? It's okay. It's all right. It says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 8, right? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's filled with this boldness that comes over him. So in the midst of persecution, right there in the midst of persecution, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And when this happens, right then and there, speaking to all the men of the council, the high priest, you know what he does? Peter tells him like it is. I would be nervous. You know, maybe he's shackled. Maybe in modern times, I would be in handcuffs, right? I would be nervous. I don't know if I would know what to say unless the Holy Spirit came upon me. So he tells him like it is. Will somebody read verse 12, please? So he tells him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the Church of God. You see, whether people believe you or not, whether people disagree with you or not, truth is truth. When you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, truth is truth. people will hear and see your boldness. Verse 13. Can somebody read verse 13, please? Again, whether people agree with you or not, when you proclaim the name of Christ, people will see your boldness. And guess what? When they see your boldness, what does verse 13 say? That they noticed they had been with who? When people see your boldness, Church of God, they will see that you have been indeed with Jesus. Look at your neighbor and ask him or her, have you been with Jesus? Look at your other neighbor on the other side. Hey, have you been with Jesus? Don't smell him. They'll go, you don't smell like you've been with Jesus. Hey, when we spend time in prayer, you've heard it said before, and I'll say it again. When you spend time in the presence of God, the holy God, when you spend time in his presence, you'll smell like his presence. When people see that boldness that you have in you, they'll know that you've been with Jesus. Now, do you see the sequence here? Okay, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, remember, it came upon Peter and John, you receive what? Boldness. Do me a favor this morning. Please don't confuse it with human courage. I'm talking about Holy Ghost boldness. And when you display this boldness, regardless of whether people believe what you're proclaiming about the gospel or not, people will see that you have been indeed with Jesus. Let's jump ahead to verse 420. I don't have a favorite Bible verse, but if there was one, this could possibly be one that I would consider my favorite verse in the whole entire Bible. Verse 20. Does somebody want to read verse 20? Oof. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's powerful. Peter and John were men that walked with Jesus. They saw him perform miracles. They saw the woman with the issue of blood be healed. They saw his encounter with Zacchaeus. They saw blind Bartimaeus be healed. They saw demons get casted out of people. They saw 5,000, over 5,000 people, 3,000, 4,000 one time, 5,000 the other time, eat from some scraps. How could they hold back and not talk about the things that they had seen and heard? Amen? Let me ask you today, what have you seen and heard? What have you seen Jesus do in your life? Has he healed? By a show of hands, has he healed you? Wife's pointing at you. You got to raise your hand now. What did he heal you from? The back of your heart was dead. That's not good. You're here. You're alive. But it's actually alive again. So he has healed you. Anybody here, has the Lord healed a loved one in your life? Let me ask you some personal questions. Is this okay? Anybody here, has the Lord taken the desire to do drugs, high and do drugs? No, but just me here that's gotten. I don't believe that. He took it away. He took away the desire to do drugs and get high and seek refuge in artificial substances that only lead to emptiness and destruction. He took it away from anybody else here. John, thank you, John. Thank you, everybody that was honest today. Let me ask you another personal question. Has he restored your mind? Anybody ever feel like you were going insane? And God restored? Yeah, that would be me. I by the way, the questions I'm asking you, they're all yeses for me. Okay? Has anybody here, has he restored your marriage? On the verge of divorce, you had enough. You're pulling out your hair, going, "I didn't sign up for this. I'm done." And maybe you yourself were doing some catastrophic things for your marriage, and God restored your life, He restored your mind, and you no longer do those things because you're no longer a slave to sin. Has He taken away the urge to look at pornography? I could go on, right? What has He done in your life that you have seen and heard that you need to share with others? We've all seen God work in our lives in one way or another. So because I am, if you know me, and actually last night, Pastor George and I, we were up. We could have kept going. You know that, right? We could have kept going to the break of dawn. Just back and forth telling stories, just hearing about each other's lives and experiences. But today I want to tell you a story real quick about a boy. Can I tell you a story about a boy? He at the age of six, this boy was sexually abused by another man. And he was introduced to what was intended to be a pure act. This intimacy between a man and a woman is pure. How many of you guys know that? It's intended for a man and it's intended for a woman. Man and a woman. But he was introduced to this pure act, a sacred act between a man and a woman. He was introduced to this in a very perverse way. Boy about the age of six. And the boy knew from the get-go that this was wrong. It was wrong. This wasn't supposed to happen. But yet, he began to question whether he had liked it or not. Whether it had been his fault. Whether he had brought this upon himself. Needless to say, whenever something like this happens, usually it opens up the doorway for shame to come in, right? So that's what happened. Shame came over him and it possessed him through his adolescence, through his teenage years, and even carried on to his adult years. So what he did is that the shame was so intense, Church of God, that he sought refuge from it through artificial substances, temporary that we call drugs. So if you've been through that, you know what that's about. So he began to self-medicate, and his shame only snowballed into an avalanche that destroyed everything in his life. By the time he was 26 years old, not only did he have six drug charges, all of them marijuana, couple of them with cocaine, intent to traffic. But he also, on top of that, he also did not know what it was like to stay faithful to a woman. Because if this one act at the age of six, now he is suffering the consequences of sin. So he did not know what it was like to stay faithful to a woman. And so he began to do what? What have many of us done at times where we just don't understand what's going on? We point the finger at who? We point the finger at God. And he would often say to him, This is your fault. This is your doing. If it wasn't for what happened, he would say, if it wasn't for what happened to me as a child, as a boy, I wouldn't be doing the things I do. So his desire to numb the pain was so intense that this boy was going to either end up dead, 6 feet underground, or he was going to end up serving a long, very long prison sentence. Because those are the two ends for this type of lifestyle that people live. He's so troubled. So he was either going to end up in a coffin, dead from an overdose, or serving a very long prison sentence. And notice that I keep calling him a boy because even in his mid-20s, he was still a boy. Do we remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says? It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish things. He did not know what it was like to give up childish things. But one day, check out what happens. One day in his desperation, this boy cries out to God and says, if you are real, and I know you are, but show yourself. How many here have ever had that dialogue with the Lord? I know you're real, but I just don't think that, I just don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't hear you. Show yourself, I dare you. And guess what God did? He did. This little boy, in case you have not put two and two together, it's me. It was me. You see, I'm a perfect candidate. I'm a perfect candidate to be in a part of our penitentiary system. Perfect candidate. Just another tally mark on the wall. I'm a perfect candidate to be prostituting myself. Some of you say, oh, boys don't do that. I'm like, yeah. Yes, they do. I should be dead in a grave somewhere, and guess what? My soul in eternal anguish. I should hate the world for what one man did to me as a boy. I should be living life trusting no one. But instead, and I can't control this. But instead, my heart at this very moment breaks at the state of humanity. I'd like to say that this morning I didn't wake up, and as I was putting my shoes on, I said, okay, feet don't fail me now. And by the way, I just want to be filled with so much compassion towards people that I really should hate that I'm going to walk out like this the rest of the day. I can't do this on my own. It's not by my own strength that I love people. It's not by my own strength that I have compassion towards others. It's not by my own doing. I should hate the world. So my heart it breaks at the state of humanity, and instead of hate, I am filled with compassion and love. That's how I combat hate, through compassion and love. And instead of isolating myself and talking to no one, I got to share with this broken world what Christ has done in my life. Amen. That's why when I'm prompted, like Acts chapter 4, verse 20, can we read that again? Peter, can you read that again? You read that. You read Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Can we read that again, please, sir? Verse 20. So even though I should hate the world and I should be filled with hatred and I should trust no one, and I mean no one, I when I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit of the living, holy God, I have to be obedient to what it's saying. If it tells me, hey, you see that person over there by the produce aisle at the grocery store? Go talk to him or her. And I understand we're not all wired the same. We're all wired differently. And depending on the day, we may just want to throat punch someone. Or we may not feel like being friendly on any particular day. But when the Holy Spirit says, go talk to this person, you got to do it. If you've seen what he's done in your life, if you've been the recipient of a miracle, or just his grace is enough. His mercy that endureth forever, that is afresh every morning, is enough so that when we get prompted, we should be obedient. Acts 4:20, I speak of the things I have seen and heard. I have seen what Jesus can do to a broken boy. Desperate. I was desperate for my father's attention. My father left my mother pregnant. I didn't see him until I was two. The story goes that he came and picked me up, took me out for ice cream, dropped me back off my grandma's, never saw him again until 2.5 years ago. When Jessica and I flew down to Panama, and I reunited with my biological father. And after spending a whole week with him doing mission work, that's when her and I were like, God is calling us to Panama. It's clear and evident, right? So God restores. He restores your mind. He restores your life. He restores relationship. And I wasn't taught boldness. It's something that you receive when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of the one and true living God. So today, Church of God, I want to challenge you as we go into the holiday season, but also as we start a new year. My challenge for you is to daily question, are we living our lives out in boldness? Are we being bold? Peter and John, in the middle of persecution, were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not persecuted, are we? How much more should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Boldness comes through being filled with this Holy Spirit and through prayer. Intimacy with God is of essence in order to walk in boldness. Of course, having a dialogue, a conversation we have with God. But the question is, are we spending time on our knees? We can talk to God in the car on our way to work. We can have that dashboard time, right? And we can talk to him in our minds. We can talk to him in our prayer language, right? But there's just something to be said about getting on our knees and weeping before the presence of God, crying out in desperation and saying, Lord, I need you. My family needs you. I am nothing without you. Please have mercy. We know his mercy is new every morning, but I've been saying this a lot lately, that even though we know his mercy is new every morning, I'm still going to ask for mercy. I'm still going to ask for mercy for my little girl's souls, because there is someone after their souls. How am I not going to ask for mercy for my family? Prayer is essential to the daily life of a believer. And as we enter this new year, Church of God, all of us have expectations, some good, some bad, but we can make it a personal expectation to pray. Can we hold ourselves accountable to spend time soaking in the presence of God? And as we enter 2020, this new year, 2020, and as this church prepares to embark on a trajectory only God knows of, we don't know what he has prepared for you in 2020. As we prepare for whatever comes our way, we need to spend time on our knees. So I shared part of my story. I want to share a few stories of some encounters I've had with people. And where this human courage that I don't think I have has been overcome by Holy Spirit boldness. And these are some stories of common, ordinary people, strangers, who I have encountered along the way in the last 2 or 3 years, and I've been led to share Jesus with. Each person allowing me to pray with them, it's been prayer that's brought us together. So we're going to put up a few photos here of people. If you follow Jessica and I on social media, you'll see that I'll post random pictures of people I come across. I met at the grocery store, just random places. So I do share these photos, and I just hope that it inspires people to when Jesus, to go and share what Christ has done in your life. Amen? Amen? Keep that word in mind. Amen. I'm going to tell you why here in a second. A couple years ago, around Christmas time, I had failed as a father. It was a week before Christmas, and I still hadn't bought any Christmas presents. And so I'm heading to the store, and I'm trying to get some last-minute things, and I'm heading towards the toy aisle, and I think most Walmarts are laid out the same. You got to go past the pharmacy. And so I noticed mom, and I noticed this little girl sitting on the bench. She's got the mask on. And the Holy Spirit says, I immediately recognize she's ill, right? I mean, noticeably ill. It was then I heard the Holy Spirit say, go pray for her. But in the business of things, being caught up in the fact that I had not gotten, we're a week away from Christmas. I haven't bought any Christmas presents. I ignore the voice. I ignored his voice, and I continued going towards the toy aisle. So as I arrive to my original destination, I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, no, go pray for her. I'm like, fine. So I go back, and it's like 20, 30 yards away, and I'm like, ah. So I go back, and I introduce myself. To make a long story short, I get down on my knees, because she was, you always want to get to the level of a child. And this little girl was suffering from a very strong influenza virus, and it seemed to be getting worse. The mother had already given her 3 days of medication. and antibiotics, but they weren't working. And when I asked her her name, I said, hey, what's your name? And with a muffled voice, because she's got the mask on, she goes, hey, Ben. I look up to Mom, and she goes, and with a gentle, I don't remember what part of Africa she was from, but it was a gentle, lovely African accent. She said to me, that's right. Amen. That's her name. She goes, you know, amen, as in what you say at the end of a prayer. Now, let me ask you something. How many amens have you met in your life? None. I will probably not meet another amen in my life. But that was this little girl's name, and Mom confirmed it. So I'm like, wow. Her name was Amen, and we prayed. I showed her pictures of my girls, and we prayed for healing. And, of course, at the end of our prayer, we said, amen. Next photo is Amy. So whether it's Walmart, the grocery store, or any public place, my girls and I, we're ready to pray for people. If we don't know them, even if they're perfect strangers, we're ready. On another occasion, I'd taken the girls to do some rock wall climbing at our local gym, and we met Amy. She was fighting brain and esophagus cancer, stage 4. Eliana Myla and I prayed for her and declared life into her body. And here's the thing. She was shocked that we had taken time to pray for her because of her appearance. Maybe kids are often don't feel like they can approach her. You know, cancer. Can I say this? Cancer sucks. Doesn't it? So it shocked her to see two little girls ready to lay hands on her, even though we had just met, and she looked noticeably different from most people, perhaps because of her appearance. Maybe she scared off some kids. But she was thankful. And I'm no one more special than anybody here. I just want to throw that in there. I want to throw that out there. Because we all get prompted. We all hear that voice at one point or another that says, go pray for that person. Are we missing our cues? All the time. Next person. Oh, yes, Louise. And by the way, I got to look at my notes because I'm the type that I will go on rabbit trails. My wife can tell you that. Because I want you to know all the details, and like I'm just so excited about Christ and what he's done and what I've seen him hurt, what I've seen and experienced, that I want you to know all the ins and outs. And if I'm not careful, I will take you on a long tangent. So I'd rather just stick to the script. Louise was on the airplane on our trip back from L.A. This was last July, a year and a half ago. We were missions training in L.A. And before boarding the plane, I asked the Lord to allow me to have an encounter with someone whom I could share Christ with. So I was like, Lord, walking to the terminal, like, Lord, lead me to somebody. Lead me to sit next to someone. I don't care who it is. Like, just, I want to share you with someone. So as we approached our seats, I noticed right away that Louise was slow to move. He was shaking, and he was slow to respond. But the very first thing he said to me after I sat down was, I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to see my son. He's a pastor there. I said, okay. He also shared with me that his current health conditions were mostly due to Agent Orange. And I had heard of Agent Orange before, but I looked it up. Well, he explained it to me, and then I looked it up. But, of course, in case you don't know what Agent Orange is, it's a herbicide used as part of the U.S. tactical warfare against Vietnam. And Luis had been in the Navy and was exposed to it along with 4 million Vietnamese and thousands of U.S. soldiers. Agent Orange causes gene deformity and, in his case, the loss of one kidney. And now because of it, he also was enduring early stages of Parkinson's. So that's why he was shaking and, you know, noticeably a little slower than others. He shared with me how he had been widowed for 4 years. He had been married for 42 years. He shared with me how it was an amazing flight-long conversation. So, by the way, I was very tired. I didn't feel like talking to anybody. But he kept me going, and flight-long conversation. He spoke of the joy of having asked Christ into his life 44 years ago. So, remember what I was doing as I was approaching the plane? Lord, lead me to somebody I can share Christ with. Little did I know Louise was going to share Christ with me. Amen. I was ministered to, man. So he showed me Christ. But again, whether it's a prompting or a desire, whether it's a prompting or just a, you know, just a poking, we feel it. It needs to be our desire too. Not just, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to wait for you to tell me to go pray for somebody. It needs to be a heart's desire to share Christ with people. We also got Sue. This one's kind of funny. I was doing laps at our old gym in Quincy, Illinois, and I saw a gal whose back of her T-shirt had big words that said, it was obvious that she did not, she was wearing a cap, but it was obvious she didn't have any hair on her head. So I had to talk to her. Survivor, big letters, you know, she looked noticeably different. So we're doing laps. You see that lap, right? That track there? So she's about 15 yards ahead of me when I notice the survivor on the back of the T-shirt. So can you picture me going, Survivor, I got to talk to her, right? And so I'm going, hi, hey, what does the back of your T-shirt mean? And she's like, you know, that's kind of awkward, right? But she told me right away, she said, it meant that she was a survivor fighting breast cancer. And when I asked her what her driving force was, she instantly replied, my faith. So we walked a few laps, talked, and of course, we prayed. I was truly inspired, so I posted this photo on Facebook. And suddenly, I received a storm of comments. My post turned into a prayer chain for Sue. So now all of a sudden, Sue has strangers, people that don't even know her, that she doesn't know, praying for her. I must have had at least 50 comments on there. Hey, Sue, we're praying for you. And, you know, she's tagged on it. So she's seeing that now people are praying for me. Wow. Amen. God is just incredible. Next photo. This actually happened the night before we were here last time. Yeah, we were here in October last year, and we were staying. I forget what hotel we were staying, but next door was Golden Corral, right, honey? Right next door? Yeah. And so we walk in, and again, I'm having this dialogue with the Lord. Lord, lead me to, you know, listen, anytime you're at a restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress, come on. Like, for real, what a perfect time to share Christ, right? So her name's Lupita. We were here in Waukegan. And before even knowing who our server was going to be, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me words to share with our waiter or waitress. She ended up being, Lupita ended up being our server at the Golden Corral. And I observed a very strong work ethic. Anytime you see somebody working hard, give them a compliment. Tell him, hey, you're doing a great job. And that's what I did. Strong work ethic. So I complimented her and reminded her that nothing she does goes unnoticed by our Father, that she's never alone. And guess what happened? Tears immediately rolled down her eyes. She starts sobbing, and she says that day in particular had not been a very good day. That in her line of work, she never receives a compliment and often feels unappreciated. You can imagine having to wipe people's messes. And then Sunday after church, Christians show up from Life Family Church and don't tip her what they should be tipping her. No, that's not this church. But those are the other churches down the block. Like, can you imagine? can you imagine the things that a waitress has to endure? The unappreciation, you know, people show up, they eat, don't say a word to them unless they're like, hey, more coffee, please. Right? We got waitresses here. Are you? Oh, both of you. Where do you work at? Oh, is that where we went? No, Great World. That's like a little resort. Cool. Both of you work there. Is that where you met? Okay. Awesome. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what I told her. People may not compliment you, but God sees it all. And if you work with integrity, and everything you do with excellence, you know, it's pleasing to our Father. So she's sobbing, and you know, we prayed. By the way, all encounters I have with people, we end up, hey, can I just pray with you real quick? And it's never, can I pray for you? Because we all need prayer. We don't want to single them out. I don't, but hey, can I just pray with you? And to this day, only one person said no. It was at Sam's Club. Boycott Sam's Club. Go to Costco. But in all honesty, I think this person was a strange, it was a unique circumstance. So I'm gonna go out and say, I'm on the limb and say that 10 out of 10 people that we've asked to pray with have said yes. Especially when you have two cute little girls with you. How are you gonna say no? How are you gonna say no? So Lupita, man, she's sobbing, and you know, we're just pointing her to Jesus, right? You never know who you will impact with your prayer, Church of God. Perhaps a Santa Claus look-alike. That was at our Hy-Vee grocery store in Quincy. He saw my shirt, and with a thick, raspy voice, he says to me, he doesn't come up to me and say, hey, hi, how are you? He just comes up to me and goes, yes, he can. Hey, man, he says, God can. He's like, yes, he can. I'm like, yes, yes. What's your name? Let's pray. And so we prayed. Or perhaps maybe it's the Menards employee, Larry. 78 years old, works part-time at Menards. This was a couple years ago. I don't know if he's still there. He had been married since 1959. He helped us with some building materials. My buddy JC and I prayed with him, and when I asked Larry what the secret to a 58-year marriage was, he said, our lives have always been about you or us, never about just me. So my gosh, yeah. Mine's kind of, I'm selfish sometimes, Larry. And sometimes I don't put my wife first. Thank you for reminding me of this, Larry. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you prompted me to talk to Larry. And now I'm going to go home and try to be a better husband to my wife. Because I fall short, don't I, honey? I fall flat on my face miserably sometimes, fellas. Never, our lives have never been about you or have always been about you or us, he says. Never just about me, referring to Larry. So what do? We prayed. So, yeah, you can learn a lot from these encounters. Next slide. So there I was last July 2018 in Guatemala. I was walking on top of a community that was once thriving, with living humans on it, now buried by volcanic rocks and ash, where over 2,000 people died and disappeared from the explosion of a volcano called Fuego. Translated, in case you don't know, that means fire. Exploded. It erupted June 4th, 2018. We were there July 13th, a month and 2 weeks after the explosion. This trip changed my life. I mean, I'm literally, you see that at the mount of, it's called pyroclastic. Pyroclastic, so when we think of volcanoes that erupt, we think lava, slow-moving, scorching, hot lava, you know, yes, but there's also this stuff that is terrible. It's a mixture of rocks, ashes, but as the locals tell you, if the wall of gas that's coming ahead of the rocks and ashes doesn't cook you alive, then the rocks will. An entire community covered by this. So we decided to go and do a disaster relief, and our film crew we were putting video content together to create a documentary on the relief, what Foursquare was doing to bring relief, and how we were providing aid to the survivors and their families. When I saw Julio, an elderly man, mid-70s, on top of this mound of sulfuric ash called pyroclastic, and he had a shovel in his hand. So I saw him probably from here to where the sister with the baby is, maybe a little farther back, and he's on top. He's about halfway up that little mount of sulfuric ash, and he's shoveling away. And I knew the answer to this. I did. But I had to start my conversation off somewhere. I said, hey, what are you digging for? And he replied in Spanish, I have already found the remains of some family members. Now I'm looking for the rest. He had found his daughter-in-law, his granddaughters, the remains. And I'm not trying to get graphic on you, but yeah. How do you process that? Another human, another fellow human being telling you that what they've just experienced, so tragic. So I asked him, I said, hey, Julio, how do you feel, and quote me, I said, how are you with your creator now? And I'm expecting some honesty, like, I'm pretty angry, man. I'm pretty hurt. I don't know why he would do this. But instead he says, I understand bad things happen, horrible things, but this is not God's fault. To hear that he was at peace with something of this nature was incredible, really incredible. So we prayed. There's also Eddie. He's not only a vet, but also lost both of his legs in a car accident. He sits in a very dangerous intersection in Iowa City, Iowa, every day and depends on the offerings of others to get by in life. And in spite of it being very hard and dangerous to get to where he was, it was like we had to think twice about getting to where he was at because there's two lanes this way. There's a turning lane. Okay, so on this side, there's a turning lane to the left. You can turn right too. And you see that car over there? He's gonna be taking a left right here, okay? And this is kind of like a medium. And we parked in a place where we had to cross these right two lanes. So Mama Bear over here is going, are you sure you want to do this, Jorge? Like, you know, there's cars coming, man. And we're like, let's go. We got to pray for this man. Find out his name was Eddie. And the girls and I paid him a visit to remind him that there is a loving God that has not forgotten about him. I honestly, sometimes when I'm prompted to do this, I don't know what I'm going to say. Sometimes it may sound dumb. Sometimes it might sound cliche. And this time it was as simple as, hey, man, I just want to tell you God hasn't forgotten about you. So we prayed. We're going to skip the next one. Yeah, let's do John. Before moving from Illinois to Cedar Rapids, where we live right now, until this Wednesday we are relocating, but met John. He was kind enough to help us with the hitch. I had rented a U-Haul, and I am a dummy when it comes to gears and tools, and I will hurt myself. So he was kind enough to help us put this hitch for a car trailer to the back of the U-Haul that we had rented. And I asked him one question. I said, John, when will you retire? It's not a spiritual question, is it? It's not an in-your-face, I love Jesus! Hey, how are you? No, it's hey, when will you retire, man? Because I noticed he's not a spring chicken. It's like, hey, when will you retire? Simple question led to John volunteering an abundance of information on some things he had been going through, like losing his wife to breast cancer 2 months prior to that. He had been married 38 years. And, you know, he was a little sad. So we prayed. Remember to ask questions. Jesus asked questions. He asked questions he already knew the answer to. Remember Bartimaeus? He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus, by the way, is blind. You think he said, hey, I want to be able to sing, I'm a little teapot in a squeaky voice, or I want $1 million. No. He was blind. He needed sight. But Jesus still asked him. So all of these encounters have been with ordinary people. I got a couple more that are not on my notes that just, they're real recent. Next slide. Oh, yeah, Monty. How many of you guys have, I know this church promotes life, right? Yes, absolutely. So I went to see, what is the pro-life movie? Unplanned. And so I get my popcorn, and I see Monty on the floor, right outside of, like, the door that leads you into the theater. And he's there, and there's an older lady, but younger than him. I find out it's his daughter, and she's, like, tending to him. He's on the ground, and he's kind of out of it a little bit, but he's still coherent enough to explain to me what happened. I'm like, hey, what happened? But actually, his daughter said to me, yeah, the first 2 minutes of the movie, it was just heavy. It was heavy, and he just got lightheaded, and he couldn't handle it, and he fainted. 94 years old. 94 years old. And he says to me, yeah, things were never this way before. I go, a lot of things can change in 100 years, right, Monty? He goes, yes. We're killing our babies. But he looks so darn cute with that popcorn, with that bucket of popcorn, don't he? How do you not want to talk to this cute little adorable fella? And of course, I went in to watch the movie, and the first 2 minutes, heavy, very heavy. How many of you guys have not seen that movie on plan? You need to go see it. You have not seen it? You need to see it. Heavy, man. Next slide. By the way, we prayed, too. We always pray. Oh, was it Tina? Was this Trina? So a lady from our church was doing, she does a once a week in the summer downtown outreach in front of the Cedar Rapids Public Library, where a lot of, homeless people hang out. And she goes and makes sandwiches and gives them out and some bottles of water and chips. And so I took a couple of our youth, to go and help Sarah out. Sarah's her name, and we met Trina, and she had a gash on her knee this long, actually inside of her knee. And it wasn't knee surgery she had gotten. She had got an infection. Was it from a needle? Crazy thing is, she had shot up on this leg, and the infection showed up on the left leg. 3 days. So she tells us that, and it was bad. It was like she had already been, they had done surgery and been to the ER and had given her medicine, but this thing was swollen. It was infected again, and she's living on the streets. And she told us she had just escaped from human trafficking. She had lived, she had been trafficked for a couple of years, and your heart breaks. And then so then. We loved on her, man. We loved on her. And she says, yeah, I need to go back to the ER. Can you give me a ride? So we hop in our van, in the church van, and we take her to the ER. On the way to the ER, she tells us. Now, these three young ladies in the back, those are our youth. Liz on the left, she's 15. Annalise just turned 18. She's in the middle. And Madison on the right, she is 15 also. So she tells us. And as terrible as this was, I'm glad my youth got to hear this. But she tells us that 3 days prior, two men had taken advantage of her, and that they purposely had pressed on her knee to disable her so that they could get their way. You hear these stories and you're going, gosh, that's not me. It could have been me. And thank you, Jesus, that you saved a wretch like me. But now I tell Trina the truth. There's a loving Savior, a loving God that still has a plan and a purpose for her in spite of how terrible things look in her life. There is a loving God that if you just turn to him, he will restore your life time after time. I am a living, walking testimony. You are a living, walking testimony. If you've seen and heard what God has done in your life, you are a living, walking testimony. I think I got one more. We'll go to the next one. We'll go to the next one. Oh, we were in Wisconsin about a month and a half ago at a Four Square Church. So we go to, this is a Pikes Peak, McGregor, Iowa, overlooks Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, beautiful place. And the two young people there to my left, they were our hosts. We stayed with them. And so Sunday after church, it took us sightseeing. And we're at this overlook. And obviously, we need a picture together, right? So I go up to this couple. And I ask, I give him the phone, and I say, hey, can you get a picture of all four of us? And I find out that this couple, maybe in their mid-50s, he's from Colombia, South America, and she's British. They're together, but they live in Michigan, right? And so they get a picture of me, and but before I even ask for a picture, I'm already like, I already know, we're gonna end up praying today, okay? Whether you know it or not, sir, we're going to pray. And so we do. We pray, and I see this young lady, or this lady, maybe 10 yards behind the couple that we prayed with. And she sits down, lights up a cigarette, just sits down, and she's very antsy, right? Okay, so as soon as we say amen, she kind of yells at her, and she goes, hey. And I look, and she goes, nice prayer. Okay, thanks. Beeline to her, right? So we start talking, and I call Chris. Chris is the young man. I'm like, Chris, come here. And I'm like, you know, I want him to pray now. I just modeled for Chris what it's like to go up to a stranger and say, "Hey, can I just pray with you?" Even if I use Jedi mind trick, by the question of, "Can you take a picture of us?" But I want Chris to now do it, right? So he does, but she's just dropping little nuggets in our hearts, like she had been divorced twice, both very abusive marriages, very abusive. And because of her demeanor, I'm just be honest with you too, because of her appearance, how she was behaving, you could tell she had a plethora of issues that she was wrestling with, right? And so then she's got to go. She says, I got to go. And I say, well, let me grab you a prayer card, you know, just so you can pray for our family. So I run to the card, my car, grab a prayer card, and I kind of meet her where she was with another couple where they were parked. And she tells me that she's bipolar, that she's on an array of medication, and that she's been diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. And she goes, I think it's because of when I was raped by 12 men. I'm going, whoa, lady, take it easy on me. Inside, I'm saying that to myself, right? But I'm understanding. Lord, you led me to this lady. She's revealing information. Now I'm going to pray for her. I got to pray for her. And I got to remind her how special she is, despite of the mistreatment of others in her life. You're still precious. You're still a jewel. You're still a diamond. You're more precious than gold. You're amazing. And I spoke life into her. You've got such a gentle, loving, kind spirit. And in spite of others missing that, not seeing that, I want to tell you here that God sees it. And at the same time, I'm broken, right? And I think we need to be broken. I think encounters with people remind us that we're humans. We're human. We are weak. We are feeble. And we need God. Amen? So today, Church of God, I just want to challenge you today to be mindful of that. Acts chapter 4:20. What have you seen and heard? And I want to end today, probably past my time, but I want to end today with 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 16. I would prefer to read from verse 9, but I'm just going to read from 16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What an awesome hope we have, right? It says in an earlier verse, I think it's verse 13, lest we sorrow as others who have no hope. We have hope. Amen? So when we lose loved ones, we have the hope that we'll see him again. Others don't. What are we doing about that? Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I want to be a part of that. Do you? And the And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Revelation 21 verse 5 says that that day there will be no anguish. That day there no pain, no sorrow. Jesus himself with his fingers will wipe away every tear. Why aren't we sharing that hope with broken people? And I love verse 18 because verse 18, this chapter here, verses 9 through 18, it's a sequence of events that the writer is describing. There's a chronological order of things that will happen in the future, right? But I love how after this order of chronological events, he ends with, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We need to comfort one another. And that doesn't just mean here. We see each other on Sundays. Hey, how are you, Brother Mike? Hey, nice to see you. Hey, God is good, isn't he? Yes, all the time. All the time he is good. We need to be doing it outside of these walls as well. Because we have hope. Many don't. I don't know about you, but I need Holy Spirit boldness every day. Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to repeat myself. Not human courage. Holy Spirit boldness. Because in our own strength, we can't do this. Anybody here need Holy Spirit boldness today? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Hey, if that was you today, that raised your hand and said, hey, I need some Holy Spirit boldness. Can I pray with you today? If you raise your hand, will you come up? Awesome. 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 And again, I am special in the eyes of the Lord. I'm his son. Come on. But I'm no more special than you. It's not easy for me to walk up to people and just, if you're up here, let's go ahead and close your eyes real quick. I'm just going to just talk for like 30 seconds. It's not easy for me to walk up to people and share about this hope that sustains me. It doesn't just keep me alive, it sustains me. It runs like living rivers of living water inside of me. And you have that too. You have that too. And scripture that's coming to mind right now is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We tend to generalize this. And I'm just going to read the last part. It says that we should all go to the ends of the earth, right? But you shall receive power. It's a promise. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria. And it says, and to the end of the earth. I'm guilty. I've been guilty of sometimes generalizing into the end of the earth as if I have to hop on a plane and go to China. Yes, I think that if God, that's what God is calling you to do, awesome. But to the ends of the earth could be your next door neighbor. To the ends of the earth could be the town next door to you. Are we going to the end of the earth? Has the Holy Spirit, has the power, have we received the power of the Holy Spirit? Has it come upon us? If you're up here, go ahead and lift up your hands for me today. And this goes without saying, I don't have a magic wand or I don't have anything to sprinkle on you. I am going to call Pastor George up here and anyone that's on his prayer team. And just ask that we lay hands on the 9 that are up here today. I'm going to pray with you guys here too. And I pray that there's an impartation that what I have, that I've received through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's something that is accessible to you, I want you to have. The wonderful thing is that all you have to do is just ask Him, Holy Spirit of God, come upon me today. We're gonna get to that prayer here in a second. Because remember, Church of God, we got two gifts that are ours. And there's nothing we can do to earn it, Danny. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Nothing. Because it's been given to us. Christ on the cross. Raised from the dead 3 days later. And that's the gift of salvation. That we shall reign with Him one day forever, for eternity. Right? The gift of salvation. And we have another gift called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that comes upon you, you won't ever be the same. And maybe we received that. I've gone through seasons where, you know, I've been baptized. I remember the day and the time and the hour and the place when I was baptized in the Spirit. And I have never been the same. But, you know, you go through moments where you grow stagnant and somewhat complacent. And you don't mean to, but the business of life just gets the best of us. So whether you've never been baptized in the Spirit, whether you've never felt that surge in your life, or whether you need it again as a reminder of His capability through you, because it's not your capability, it's what He is capable of doing through you. Let's receive that today. Let's bring that back into fruition today, this morning, for the nine of you that are here that have chosen to come up and said, hey, I need some boldness. Beautiful thing is that God takes ashes in your life and he turns it into beautiful things. The word says that He makes beauty out of ashes. So the nine of you that are up here today, you could have a similar story to mine. You could have one that would make my jaw drop and be like, whoa, I've gone through nothing compared to you. But regardless, He wants to use that for His glory. He wants to use that so that you can inject people with that hope of salvation. Maybe through simple conversations at the grocery store or at Walmart. I don't know, maybe someone once said, hey, I don't know how to start a food pantry. I'll tell you how to start a food pantry. You go into your cupboard or your fridge, put some items together that are not expired, and you go find someone in your neighborhood that needs some food. Boom, congratulations, you got a food pantry. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor George, forgive me for if I cross the line, but it doesn't have to be church sanctioned. For you to bless. If God is leading you to ministry, to be a blessing in your neighborhood, in your city, however that may look like, because we all are called to different things, be obedient to that voice. Be obedient to that calling. If God is calling you to the mission field, if you're standing here, one of the nine, or even here, and the rest of the congregation, if God is calling you to do global missions, get on your knees. Seek Him. Have Him confirm it. And go. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my brethren up here today. Hallelujah. I pray for the brokenhearted today. Pray for the ones that need restoration in their lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, fire of the living God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit today. That we receive that surge that leads us to do great and amazing things in Your name. That we receive that injection in our minds, bodies, spirits, and souls that lead us to do bold things in Your name. Holy Spirit of the living God, we need your boldness. We need your boldness. We need your boldness. Not only to pray for people, but to confront temptation. To say no to temptation. And I'd hate to say this, but there are many of us here, standing or sitting, who are leaving here today and are going back to temptation and are probably going to succumb to temptation. And God is saying, enough. And enough of your self-destruction. I'm everything you need. You've been forgiven. He has shown it on the cross. Salvation's yours. The power of the Holy Spirit is yours. What else do you need? Why are we running away from God? And I say this with the love in the world, Church of God. So if that's you today who knows, if you know and you're aware that as soon as you step out of here, you're going to walk into the lion's mouth. And as we know it, like my mom still tells me this to this day. Jorge, if you stick your head in the lion's mouth, he's going to shut it. He is going to close it. And if that's you today, it's going to go out there and stick your head in the lion's mouth, knowing the repercussions and knowing the results, the end results. But your soul is crying out for restoration. Just as you sit there today or as you stand here, cry out to him. And even if you're not moving your lips, cry out to him. Let your soul cry out to him today. And as you leave here today, I don't care. Lock yourself up in your room and scream if you have to. In desperation. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, save me because I can't save myself. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Name that is above all names. At the sound of your name, all knees shall bow. And we praise you, King of Kings, Lord of Hosts, Lord of the Heaven's Armies, the Holy Lamb of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, my brethren that have come up here today, Father God, they're asking for Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost boldness. Father God, in the name of Jesus, 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 may they receive that for what they're asking for. May they receive that for which they're asking for, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, I need the rest of the congregation to just have your eyes closed and start praying, please, for the next just couple of minutes. For the next couple of minutes, start praying for the people that are up here, please, if you could. I'm asking you to. Please start praying for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, because God wants to do something today. These nine that came up here didn't just come up here to play patty cake. They came up here because there's something that's stirring up inside their lives, inside their hearts, that's leading them to say, Father, I need you and I need that Holy Spirit boldness because I have a calling in my life. There's something you are calling me to do. I don't know what that looks like. I just don't think I have what it takes. So I need you. So church, please be praying for them here in the next 2 minutes. As the Holy Spirit moves through this altar today, through this sanctuary, Father God, I pray that those who are here with their hands lifted up, with their hands lifted up, whatever they're going through right now, Father, whatever they're going through right now, Father, you know their hearts. You know their hearts. You know if there's turmoil. You know if there's chaos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 33:3 says, we're reminded, if you call on to me, I will show you great and mighty things. Some versions say secret things that you do not know. Remember what the word also says, if you draw to him, he will draw to you. There's something that you have access to that you've never tapped into, And it's not magic. It's nothing that makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. It's the power of the living, holy God. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says that, you know, Jesus called his disciples and he said, hey, that power and authority I give unto you to cast out demons and heal diseases. And life is intense. Life is intense. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us boldness, but remember what Jesus called him as he was departing into the heavens, leaving his disciples behind. He said, I will send you the Comforter. So maybe you were drawn up here thinking you needed boldness, maybe it's comfort that you need. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe your brethren aren't. Maybe they're not living out 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, 18, where it says, comfort one another. Maybe no one's comforting you. But I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit of the living God wants to comfort you, because that is his office. Part of his job assignment and job description is to comfort you. And at times, you seek him. Do you know that you need comforting? Absolutely. Should you say, Lord, I need you to comfort me. I need your loving embrace right now, Father, because I feel lonely. I feel like the turmoil inside of me is eating me up. Watch what happens when you seek him. Hallelujah. 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 Some are here because God wants to take that what you're thriving for, kind of talked about it earlier today, didn't we? And he's pleased with it. But I also agree with Mama Bear over here too. But I also believe that your heart's in the right place. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be vigilant. Keep it there. Keep it there. Father God, we love you, Lord. We give you praise and honor, Father. We give you praise and honor for what you're doing here in Waukegan. And we pray that the Holy Spirit boldness is infectious, that it catches, that a fire is lit up in people's hearts, Lord, to pursue you. You pursue us. You pursue us. He's pursuing you from the very beginning. Remember, the Bible in itself, the sacred scripture, is not just a book full of stories. It is a story of how God has pursued you, has pursued us, his creation, mankind, from the very beginning. Pursuing us, despite of our flaws and sinful nature, and despite of how wretched we can be. He pursues us. Pursue him. Pursue him in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I rebuke, and I cast out spirit of anxiety. Has no place in our lives. No place in our lives. Spirit of fear has no place in our lives. Jesus, we need a sound mind. We need a sound mind. I need a sound mind to continue living under these earthly forces. Renew my spirit every day. Restore my mind. Renew it every day, Father. Don't allow me to succumb to the effects of these earthly forces. Deceit, murmur. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Gossip does not belong in the church. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We stand firm on your word, Father. We stand firm on your word that you came to give life and life in abundance. Help us stand against the tactics of the enemy who came to kill, steal, and destroy. Allow this congregation through the leadership of Pastor George Jones and his wife and his leadership and his elders and his board, those that are in leadership here, to continue to speak truth and preach truth, biblical truth, unwavering truth. So that when this church feels the opposition of the world's standards and the wave that is coming against the church, that we can stand firm and say, we are going to stand for biblical truth. We are going to stand for what is truth. We are going to stand for holiness. We are going to be holy like you're holy. Help us be just. Help us have faith. Your word says that the just shall live by faith. We need faith, Jesus. We need strong men and women here in this church that will serve as watchmen, pillars within this church, that see with spiritual eyes, not with human eyes, that can stand back and detect spirits that are attacking the church. And while most churches in America just sit back and they're enjoying a show, Family Life Church, let you be the church in this region that marks the difference, that stands for truth, that is vigilant against the tactics of the enemies, that discerns the spirits that are walking in here. You've heard it said before, Satan's probably the first one that comes and sits down in the very front pew. It's been said for many years, since I was a kid. It is true. But most churches are asleep. If a witch was to come in through that door right now with intentions to observe and then go back and do what witches do, would anybody here be able to discern that spirit that walks in through the door? But Church of God here in Life Family Church in Waukegan, Illinois, don't be the church that's asleep. Be the church that is vigilant. Don't be the church that comes for a show. Don't be the church that comes don't be the church that's always expecting to be the recipient of something. Be the giver. Be the giver and be vigilant. But in order for that to happen, we need to be walking in the Spirit. We need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive boldness. We receive comfort. But we also see things that others don't. And I'm not just saying it. I don't say this at every church. There's some things I don't say at churches that I want to say. And I probably should say, even if I don't get invited back. I don't have nothing mean to say today, except be vigilant. Be vigilant. Because I see people here who God wants to use you in that area of ministry, and that as watchmen to this church. People that can go up to Pastor George and say, "Hey, Pastor George, I see this right now. I see this in the spirit realm. Here's what's going on." Because one thing that is powerful that you guys have going, and I felt this last year when I was here, when I was received as a part of your family, you guys have an aspect of a community that I haven't seen in churches in a very long time. And I'm going to say this, a lot of that is due to the amazing diversity that is here. We got people from the Philippines. We got folks from Nigeria. We got folks from Germany. We got folks from other parts of the world. We got Marta from Mexico, who I just met today. That is a formula for family. That is a formula for for amazing things to happen. And because we see what's happening to the family, not just to the traditional aspects of a family, mom, dad, husband, wife, kids, how there is a attack on it to disintegrate and to annihilate that first institution established by God. If the enemy is after the family, he is going to start with the church. Father, we give you glory today. Hallelujah. You are Lord. You are holy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for today. And thank you for your word, Father. Father, I bless my brethren here in Waukegan, Illinois. Father, be with them as they go on to be at home. And Father, I just bless them in the field. Bless them in the city, Father. Bless the work of their hands, Father. Bless whatever they step foot on, Father. May they go out there and be a blessing. May they go out there and live life as followers of Christ with boldness. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Jorge, very much. And Jessica, for being here this weekend to minister in the might and the courage of the Holy Spirit. As we said before, we do want to take up a love offering today for the two of them. They wound down their ministry responsibilities in Iowa this past Wednesday. They're going to take December to spend time with first his family and then her family in the Carolinas, and then I guess finish whatever preparations before they leave and go to Panama. So if you'd like to give something to them today, we will take up an offering. This is a one-time love offering for them. If you're writing a check, please make this check payable to Family Life Church, because we will give them one check from the church today when they leave. So checks payable to Family Life Church. And then once we do this, then I'll tell you how you can give to them on an ongoing basis, should that be on your heart today. Bill, can you walk around and do that, please? Whole church. And Tom, or either Kyle or Tom, one of you. So, Jorge, if somebody wants to give to you on an ongoing basis, can you tell us the best and simplest way to do that? Keep it simple for us. We're a simple people, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you. So, to give, best thing we need right now is prayer. Okay, so can you please have the floor as family in prayer? It just so happens that in order to do ministry, you need money too, right? So, financially, we are still $600 short of our monthly budget, yet our sending board, FMI, our sending church, is sending us. They're believing that the rest will come in the next few months. But to give, if you have something to write this down with, please, please write it down. It's easy to give. Right now, you know, my mama always said, I don't know if someone ever told you that when you need help, ask for help, right? So I'm asking for help today. The best way to team up with us with what God is doing in Panama, and he's doing something amazing in Panama for the whole world, is to go to Foursquare Missions. Foursquare Missions. I don't have it up. Foursquaremissions.org / Flores. Foursquaremissions.org / Flores. There you go. Thanks, Nathan. On there, you can sign up to give monthly gifts, and it's easy to just click the little box that says, make this an automatic monthly gift. And it's safe, it's secure, and you can have it automatically drafted from your bank account. Again, God is doing something amazing in Panama, not just for Panama, but for the whole globe. And I think last year when we were here, we mentioned that Panama, their slogan, mostly because of the canal, is heart of the world, bridge to the universe. And there's a lot of Chinese in Panama. There's a lot of foreigners in Panama. So we believe that our time in Panama is going to be there's so much work to do with different communities. There's Noben natives, a lot of indigenous communities that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if the Lord is leading you to team up with the Flores family, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we love you guys.